Amen. Sounds like to me, from what Brother Kenneth has brought before us, that the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. You believe that? I've already got a lot of nods from you, so I appreciate that, but that's it. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Okay? I want to follow along with what Brother Kenneth has brought before us this morning and emphasize that the Word of God is our best defense in this world. There's a lot of, well, first of all, the Word of God is being attacked on every front. Christianity is being attacked on every front in our country. Sometimes it seems subtle, but if you really key in on what's happening here, Christianity is on attack. And so those things that Brother Kenneth has said about being faithful to him, first and foremost, they're important today. They've always been important. So I'm going to tell you something. You're going to feel the importance in the days ahead. I pray that God would... You know, I know he's able to take care of us. I know he's able to keep us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I've read the Old Testament. And I understand that people are not any different today, in principle, than they've always been. And I see the history of God's people turning away from God, enemies coming in, them suffering, them crying unto God, and God will give them a deliverer. Where are we in that process? I don't think we're crying unto God enough. You know, I keep hearing, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, then will I heal their land. And to a great extent, I'm afraid we're still waiting for some humbling. That's a long ways from the healing of our land. But God is able to do it in an instant. He's able. But sometimes he waits to see just how much we love him. Now, I know he knows that. But the way he waits to see sometimes is to show us our own shortcomings. Show us our need of him. Okay, now, our best defense is this word. You know, I rejoice as much as anyone in the doctrine of eternal security. Sister Martha, you said yesterday that you liked those last two verses of Romans chapter 8. Well, I do too. You know, there's nothing, as it comes to the end there, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there's a lot of things that try to separate us. There's a lot of things that attacks the Word of God and tries to get our attention away from God. You know, Satan is our adversary. But a lot of what Brother Kenneth was talking about, denying self and taking up our cross and following him, do you remember on one occasion when Jesus began to tell his disciples what was about to happen to him, Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Wait a minute. That's Jesus. He always spoke pure truth. And if he said this is what was going to happen, it was going to happen. But the eminent Peter, I think he was feeling a little bit of self, said, "Not so, Lord, this shall never happen unto thee." Do you remember how Jesus responded? who did I say as our adversary? Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, I don't necessarily think that Jesus was calling Peter Satan, but he was saying, your thinking is just like Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." Peter's thinking was offensive to Jesus. How many times could our thinking, when we're not denying self, when we're not interested in taking up that cross, when we're not following him like we should, how often is our thinking offensive to Jesus? Thou art offensive to me. And he says, why? For thou savorest the things that be of men and not the things that be of God. You see how important that is? That our mind and our heart and our focus be upon the Lord and his goodness and his mercy and what he's done and what he's promised to do for us and what we have. Because listen, the best is yet to come. The Lord has saved the best for last. And that last is never going to end. Is that good enough? I think that's good enough. That best will never end. So, eternal security. I rejoice in that. But I'm not in heaven yet. I can enjoy some heavenly things right now, but I'm not there yet. I need daily salvation. If you follow what Brother Kenneth was saying, that passage of Scripture, it'll help you to daily save yourselves from this untoward generation. We need saving daily, don't we? I don't mean that we need to be redeemed from our sins every day. That's eternal security. I'm talking about daily. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said to those Jews, Acts 2:40, save yourselves. With many other words, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. When the Bible speaks of saving, we need to ask ourselves, saving from what? Jesus saved us from the penalty of our sins. Jesus saved us from hell to heaven. But bless your hearts, if he's quickened us, if he's blessed us to know who he is and what he's done for us, and if he's blessed us to be able to hear his word and understand it and have a rejoicing in it, then bless your hearts, we need to use that word and save ourselves from this untoward generation. How many times is our mind and our heart gone after the things of this world instead of thinking about the Lord and his will? How often are we conformed to this world instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind? I don't want to rehash what Brother Kenneth has said, but it's all the same message, isn't it? So we have to realize that we're so prone for our mind and our heart to be led after other things, led after the things that please self instead of that which is consistent with God's will for us in our day. Satan has his devices, right? He's got a tool bag. Seems like he's always got those tools ready, and he knows how to use them. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul was speaking about the obedience, about the Corinthians being obedient to God's will, he says, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, when we're not denying self, when we're not obeying this word, Satan has a way of getting in there and cause us to think about other things instead of what we should. Satan has an inroad. We invite him in when we choose to think about other things instead of the will of God. Instead of denying self and following him and thanking him daily for his blessings and seeking his face for his counsel and his guidance, instead of doing those things, when we're focused on self, we give Satan an opportunity to distract us. You know what I'm talking about. It happens all too often, doesn't it? That's why we have to guard our heart. That's why we have to guard our mind. And this word is the best defense we have in that fight. Because this word will remind us. And I'm telling you something. When you're praying to God, you know, I've heard some people in the past tell me, "Preacher, I just don't read the word of God because I don't understand it." Well, guess what? I'll give you a secret. The more you read it, the more you'll understand it. Especially when you approach the reading of this word by saying, "Lord, I need your help." That's denying self. That's part of denying self. Because you realize you're not leaning on your own understanding. Well, I think that's written somewhere, isn't it? I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting that God has all the answers, and I need to know what those answers are. Because I'm going to face things throughout my day. I may not know how to respond. And if I don't know how to respond appropriately from this word, I'll probably respond according to the flesh. Isn't that what Peter did? Do you know when Jesus was tempted of the devil? Those three times, I won't get into that, but those three times when the devil tempted Jesus, do you know how he responded? From Scripture. Appropriate, thank you. Appropriate Scriptures. You see the value of learning, of hiding this word in our heart that we might not sin against God? Appropriate. What did God have to say about this? Oh, he's told me. This word's a thorough furniture. He's told me what I need to know. Now, so pray. You know, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why I say, if you'll ask the Lord for help, he'll give you understanding. Now, the reason I went there is this. The Holy Spirit, when you're asking for the spirit of understanding, of revelation, of wisdom, as you're reading the Word of God, the Lord can lead our mind into things and show us how his word applies to a situation that you otherwise wouldn't have seen. And it's amazing to me how wonderful this word is that you might not even have considered how that particular verse of scripture could help you in this challenge that you're facing, and yet the Spirit can open it up to show you. I don't know how many times I've had a thought of scripture on my mind when I'm studying and thinking about needing to preach later, and I'll be studying this, thinking I need to focus on this, and the Spirit leads me over here, and it leads me over here, and I think, I guess I was totally off base with what I started with, but eventually it comes back. The Lord knows a whole lot more about this than I do. He'll bring it around to what was on our heart to start with and show us other things that are involved with it. And it'll do the same. He will do the same for you. It's your best defense against the challenges that you're facing in life to have this word of God and approach it in such a way that you ask the Lord for understanding and he'll open it up to you. Now, Does that mean you're going to understand all of the book of Revelation and all the book of Ezekiel? You know, Ezekiel's pretty hard when you get up past that first half of it. I'm not saying he's going to open it all to you. If it applies to you and if it's needful for you and if there's a lesson there that he needs to show you about it, he can certainly do that. All right, so the Word of God is our best defense. So we need to reverence this Word, right? The more we reverence the Word of God, the more God will honor and bless us with understanding. I get so sick of reading some of these commentaries and they say, well, it should have said this, or he meant to say this. No, this is the inspired Word of God. He said what he means, and he means what he says. We're the ones that need to help with understanding what he has said. Have you ever been reading a scripture and Jesus would respond to those Jews in such a way that you thought, well, why did he say that? But the reason he said that is because he's striking to the heart of the matter. They were thinking one thing, but he's telling them, here's the root of the problem. So when we think about, we need to reverence this Word. Psalm 138, I won't stay there long, but let me read the first couple of verses. Psalm 138, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Wow. That one convicts me every time. Praise again with our whole heart. I just don't feel like that I'm able to praise him with my whole heart. Well, bless your hearts, the more we're in the Spirit, the more we're in the Word of God, the better job we can do of that. The more he's with us. He said, abide in me and I in you. James says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. I think there's a pattern here, don't you? Okay. All right. Deny self, take up your cross. All right. So he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. You mean there's other gods? Well, let's notice that for just a second. It's a little G. And it's got an S on it. So it's not the one true and living God. Right? That word really has reference to rulers and judges in this world. People in places of authority who execute judgment or who rule in such a way that it has an effect upon us. They have power over us. So that little G with an S on it, gods, is talking about people in this world who have influence and who have power. But they're all under the one true and living God. Aren't you glad? Boy, I tell you, even especially in this day, I'm so thankful that God is on his throne and he's ruling and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? He's upon his throne and I'm thankful for that. All right? So, all right. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I want you to tuck that away in the back of your mind. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Do you think there'll ever be a time when you'll be ashamed of Jesus? Do you think there'll ever be a time when you'll be afraid to let anybody know that you're a follower of Jesus? Do you think there'll ever be a time when you might be persecuted for what you believe? We need to be like Daniel and settle in our heart ahead of time. We're going to be faithful to God. Whatever comes up, we're going to be faithful to God. There's no system in this world that can provide for us what our Lord has done for us. There's no system in our world that's still going to be around when judgment comes. Our God is upon his throne. Our Lord has shed his precious blood and redeemed us from our sins, and nothing can ever separate us from him, and we will be with him in glory forever with all the redeemed family of God. We can't have a better shepherd. We can't have a better God. We can't have a better Lord. We just need to do a better job of serving the one we got and being faithful to him. All right, so he says, I'm about to run out of time. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy name, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Did you get that? Do you think this word is important? He has magnified his word above all his name. Now, in that day when David would have written this, and by the way, he wrote it by inspiration of the Spirit. But in that day, there were nations around them that had seen what God did for them in parting the Red Sea. Those nations of people saw what God did for them in delivering them out of Egypt. They heard about him parting the sea. They heard about the mighty wonders of the God of Israel. He had a name. Let me tell you something. David says by inspiration, he has magnified his word above all his name. His word, his promises, what he will do for us when his word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, we're not talking about the preached word saving anybody except saving us daily. There is a saving influence from hearing the gospel preached and encouraging us to righteousness. There's a salvation there, but it's that daily salvation that we need. But when the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, when he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. That's the work Jesus came to do, and that's what he finished. Bless your hearts. It's done and nobody can undo it. That word, the word of it was a word of promise to David in that day. It was the prophecies that God had given, that the seed of the woman, spoken of that right back there in the early part of Genesis, the seed of the woman would come. David had a promise from God that it would be of the fruit of his loins, that the Messiah would come from his own the fruit of his loins. Many of those things that God had been revealing in his word. Bless your hearts. God has magnified his word above all his name. Because his word is sure and steadfast. It cannot change. Now, I said a moment ago, there's a lot of ways that the word of God is being attacked. You know, Christianity. Well, for the longest, they've been attacking the creation, right? And trying to, teach our children that things just evolved. Trying to take God out of it, right? Attacking the Word of God. What's the Word of God say? In the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. He did that. First thing he told us in his word. In the beginning. Bless your hearts. We need to guard our hearts against anything influencing our mind to think anything other than the truth of God's word. Now that's just one little thing. But there's so many hundreds of principles that are under attack today. So many things. Where this culture is trying to redefine what we think about things and take us away from the way God says, this is the way it ought to be. It's under attack. Even various translations, various versions of the Bible. We need this word in its pure form. There's some versions of the Bible that speak when God gave the prophecy of the virgin birth. Remember what he said? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That means that when this virgin brings forth this son, they called his name Jesus. He's conceived of the Holy Ghost, not of man. So he's more than a man. But there's so many in this world today that deny the deity of Christ. They deny the virgin birth. There's versions of the Bible that are very popular, but it says a young woman shall conceive. Well, now, wait a minute. There's a big difference here. That happens all the time. When the Lord would give us a sign, he said exactly how it would happen so that it would be exactly the kind of thing that he would have to exercise his power in order for it to come to pass. That's what we need, the pure word of God. And it's under attack. And we need this word to help us. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good work. The devil started by lying to Adam and Eve, right? It came to Eve. You remember what he said? The serpent in the garden? Thou shalt not surely die. What did God say about it? They would die. Well, who's right? You know who's right. But somehow, it planted a seed in Eve's mind, thinking that God was holding out on them. There was something better. And I'm going to tell you something. That same device, we're not ignorant of his devices, that same device Satan is using today. He's trying to get something about yourself that you don't want to deny and tell you you're going to be happier. You're going to live better. It's going to be better for you if you follow that. Those old-fashioned Christian principles are not the best anymore. See, that's his favorite device. Attacking the word of God and playing on your flesh. This word is our best defense. Reading it daily, keeping our mind renewed, transformed. Instead of conform to this world, we need that. We need that. Satan's favorite tool is attacking the word of God. We read the Bible, we find there was a time when Jeremiah wrote the prophecy that God gave him, and it was read before the king of Israel, and the king of Israel threw it through the scrolls into the fire. Did that destroy the word of God? No, God told Jeremiah, you write it again. But this time when he wrote it again, he gave us that account of that king trying to throwing it into the fire and burning it up. So we've got a better account now, a better record of it now than what it was the first time. Oh, it was all true the first time, but it's a more accurate account, more complete account now than it was before. Now, don't think that that was any surprise to God. He knew what was going to happen. But nevertheless, sometimes, another attack on the Word of God, sometimes people want to replace what God says about something with a tradition. Jesus warned those Pharisees about that. He told them in Matthew 16, back up a chapter from wherever the Kenneth was. Matthew 15, he tells them that they were by honoring their tradition above the Word of God, they were making the Word of God of none effect. Well, if doing something gives preference to that over the Word of God, it didn't change the word of God, but it changes the effect, doesn't it? It made the word of God of none effect. Specifically, what he was saying there was that the word of God says you honor your father and your mother. But they were giving themselves allowances for not honoring their father and mother according to their traditions. and by their traditions, they were rendering the word of God of none effect. This word will help us to recognize anything that we might be honoring above his principles as we read and study his word. Oh, there's so much more. We also need to realize, there's an ongoing battle. Satan's never going to give up. This world is always going to be against God. We always got this flesh that we're carrying around with us. The battle is not going to stop this side of glory. We got two natures, don't we? We got this old man, and thankfully, we've got the new man. Which one's going to be stronger? Which one do you feed the most? Which one are you feeding? If you're feeding the flesh is going to win out when it comes to choices. If we're feeding on the Word of God, we're going to have that fresh. We're going to have His Spirit convicting us when something's not right. We're going to have the blessing of His Spirit leading us and guiding us in our decisions in life. And we're going to have a desire. Reading the Word on a more frequent basis increases your appetite for the Word. I promise you, it happens. I've never seen it fail. Reading the Word of God on a more regular basis increases your appetite for the Word and for doing the will of God. I don't even go that far. We need that, don't we? We need that because that's where the problem is. What we feed the most is going to be the strongest. Are we feeding the inner man on the Word of God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are we feeding the old man? And when it comes to choices, we're going to bow to the old man instead of the inner man. We need this word. It's our best defense against the flesh, against our adversary, against this world system in which we live. Now, is this a big deal? Does this really matter to God? Was there any consequence to Adam and Eve doing what they did? I'd say it's a matter of life or death. When Moses got to the end of his way and some of the last words that he gave unto the children of Israel, he said, "It's not a vain thing for you to observe these commandments and these judgments and these statutes. It's not a vain thing. It is your life." When the Old Testament comes to a close in the book of Malachi, what were they told? Remember the commandments. Remember the words that God had given you. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, you know, Revelation 22, almost the last verse, what does he say? Don't add to this. Don't take from it. Because you need it just the way it is. This is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. If we neglect it, we're going to lose our appetite for it. If we eat it up, it'll be sweet to us. It'll help us. It'll add joy and blessing to your life because we're seeking His face and His loving kindness, and He's coming, making Himself more aware, of making His presence more evident in our lives. We can be a better ambassador for Christ. We're doing a better job of denying self. We're willing to take up that cross and follow him. So how should we respond? David said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's a good place to start. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." That's what this is, the wisdom of God. Acts 20, when Paul was saying his farewells to the elders at Ephesus, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks of this word as wholesome words. You know what wholesome foods do for your body? They nourish you. They build you up. This is wholesome food for your soul. It'll build you up. It'll strengthen you. It'll help you. Having more of this, give us this day our daily bread. Having more of this will help us be in a better position to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You got some challenges? You got some problems you're facing? You got some decisions that you need to make? I can't think of a better way to approach something like that than to have this word treasured up in our heart. To have our mind renewed by this word on a daily basis. To be keenly aware of God's will. You know, when we think about wanting to know God's will, we like to know what's those next 25 or 30 steps. But bless your hearts, if we're asking the Lord to lead us, and if we're asking for his guidance, he'll show us the way. It might be usually as one step at a time, but he'll show us. He's faithful. He loves you more than anybody else. He can do for you more than anybody else, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's our best defense against what we face in this life. May God bless you is our prayer.